Back when I was still in saddle shoes and anklets, my father taught me to walk a railroad track. "Just step right out, McGee," he'd say, using a nickname I still sometimes hear, though only from him. "Don't look down. Keep your eyes in front of you, look where you're headed, and you won't lose your balance." It was hard advice to follow as I teetered on the metal rail, but once I got the hang of it, it was as if I'd been doing it all my life. I'd stride with long, gliding steps, taking big breaths of the summer air and grinning. When we'd come to a snarl of feral raspberry vines from an abandoned farmstead, we'd pick and eat until our faces were stained. If the sun had been shining hard for a while, the creosote bubbled up out of the railroad ties, glossy black pearls scattered over the old pine boards, and its scent mingled with the carroty perfume of Queen Anne's lace. We'd head out early in the morning, usually. I'd perch on the handlebars of his ancient black bike, and he'd pedal us past grazing Holsteins, past drifts of windswept chicory, past the slouching ruins of dairy barns, out to Half Day, a little smudge of a town, not much more than a one-pump filling station and a junk shop called the White Elephant. Behind the rusty screen door with its tinny tinkle of camel bell was a warren of cast-off and collected artifacts, the equal of which I have yet to see nearly four decades hence. Horse collars and kerosene cans, ratty mink stoles, tattered tablecloths, ambered earrings and hammer-sprung pianos. Over and through it all, the smell, a haze of incense, goat skin, cats, and canned soup. The granny-booted leviathan of a proprietress, think of a Botero figure in lace-up orthotic boots, rarely moved from her dim back room, but somehow managed an eerie omniscience, should my hand ever stray toward the gleam of a stuffed deer's marble eye or a marionette's tangle of strings, she'd bark from the gloom and stop me cold. With my father, though, she took a different tone. Her voice became honey over gravel, and she'd scold, banter, and I now realize, flirt with him. And why not? He was a hazel-eyed, square-jawed charmer, and his interest in her mountains of miscellany was genuine. We rarely stayed long, though. Her shop was just a stop on the way to our real destination, the railroad tracks. Papa would lean the bike against a clump of sumac and lift me down. I'd crunch over the lava rocks between the ties, then step up onto the rail. Though trains spliced and sliced the mid-century Midwest of my youth, from the stockyards and slag heaps to the bleached prairie land beyond, out where we were, they didn't whistle through but a few times a day. I'm pretty sure I mastered rail walking long before I let on I had. Papa's distilled intention was intoxicating, and I wanted as much of it as I could get. Time out with him was crazy fun. He was so young, as fathers were back then, and had a wide streak of wild in him that captivated me. Things I wouldn't dream of doing with my kids, things like my bare-legged, helmetless handlebar balancing, were every day. And yet a few afternoons ago, as I stepped over the tracks crossing the newspaper's back parking lot, I was ashamed. With the summer swelter rose the oily musk of creosote, and I realized it's an aroma my own boys have never inhaled, just as they've never learned to walk a rail. Yes, my father was a wild young man, and yes, I'm nearly twice the age now he was then, but what he taught my childhood self is exactly what I want my own children to know. Travel old roads, gather the fruit in your path, step right out and don't look down.